Imagine for a second that you're tasked with building this absolutely impregnable fortress,
Yeah,
right?
okay. I'm picturing it.
You spend billions of dollars on laser grids, you know, reinforced titanium walls, biometric scanners. It is just a masterpiece of modern engineering.
Right, maximum security.
Exactly. But then, on the day you open it, someone just walks right up to the front door wearing, like, a generic polo shirt and holding a clipboard.
Oh, no.
And they politely ask the security guard to let them in to check the thermostat. And the guard just smiles, swipes a key card, and lets them right through.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? The complexity of the defense apparatus actually creates this massive blind spot to the simplest possible attack vector.
It totally does.
You spend so much time fortifying the digital architecture that you forget the structural integrity of the whole system relies on a single fallible point of entry.
Which is usually a person. And, you know, welcome to today's deep dive. Today is Saturday, June 6, 2026, and we have a really wild one for you today.
We really do.
Because that tension between massive scale and surprising fragility, that's the exact thread running through our source material today. We've got this fascinating stack of tech and market updates from the latest Tech and Night reports.
Yeah, and on the surface, these six explosive stories from the past week, they look totally disconnected.
Right. I mean, we're talking gaming, enterprise cloud infrastructure, crypto, and physical cybersecurity.
But our mission today is to synthesize them. Because when you map them out, they tell one massive, cohesive, and honestly somewhat alarming story about the vulnerability of titans.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because this is really a thrilling look at how fast the modern world is rewiring itself. We are looking at how the biggest players, entities with gravity-defying market share, are discovering that their immense scale is actually their greatest liability.
Exactly. We're going to help you connect the dots between, you know, the cultural gravity of gaming, the brutal realities of AI capital, and literal hackers just showing up at office doors.
Let's start with a company that completely defines hyperscale, and that's Rockstar Games. They just confirmed the release date for Grand Theft Auto VI is November 19th, 2026.
Yeah.
And the fallout from the single date announcement is staggering.
It's basically a quarantine zone.
Right. Entire multi-billion dollar publishing houses are grabbing their intellectual property and just fleeing the month of November. We are seeing these massive anticipated titles like Sony's Wolverine and Funcom's Dune Awakening completely abandon their release windows.
Yeah, they're cramming themselves into September instead. It's a bloodbath.
It really is. It's like GTA VI is this gravitational black hole. Nothing can survive in its orbit.
Well, what's fascinating here is the sheer math behind this franchise. It's difficult to process even for seasoned analysts.
Give us some context on that.
So Grand Theft Auto V, which came out 13 years ago, generated over $8 billion in revenue.
$8 billion? That's insane.
Right. And it sold 200 million copies worldwide. It broke the all-time entertainment record by grossing $1 billion in its first 24 hours.
Wow.
And now look at GTA VI. We are looking at a rumored production and marketing budget of $2 billion.
$2 billion for a video game.
Yeah, making it the most expensive entertainment product in human history. And its first trailer hit 200 million views in a single day.
I mean, I get the hype, but I want to push back a bit on this idea of a September bloodbath.
Okay, how so?
Publishers are acting like releasing near GTA VI means nobody will even see their game. But, you know, isn't there room in the market for more than one successful title in a quarter? I mean, people watch multiple movies in the same month.
That assumes consumer wallets and attention spans are infinitely elastic, which they really aren't. Video games operate on an entirely different economic and temporal scale than movies.
True, they are a lot more expensive.
Exactly. First, look at the wallet share. Consumers will be paying anywhere from $70 to over $100 for copies of GTA 6.
Right, depending on the edition.
Yeah. So for a huge portion of the gaming demographic, that completely exhausts their discretionary entertainment budget for the whole month, maybe even the quarter.
Oh, that makes sense.
And second, look at the time commitment. Rockstar is delivering a mapped ecosystem combining Vice City and Cuba. They're demanding a 60 to 80 hour campaign plus an endless multiplayer mode.
That is an excellent point about the temporal scale. Because if you're a developer, your real competitor isn't just another game, it is the algorithmic ecosystem.
Spot on.
Every major streamer on Twitch, every video essayist on YouTube, every gaming outlet is going to pivot 100% of their coverage to GTA Z. because that's where the algorithmic reward is.
Yeah, that's where the clicks are.
Exactly. If you release a game in November, you literally do not exist on the internet. You are starved of the oxygen of organic marketing.
Which is why we're seeing the strategic panic, right?
Yeah.
Forcing 10-plus AAA titles into September. But the hidden aha moment here, and history backs this up, is that this retreat just creates a localized casualty event.
Like what happened a few years ago.
Right. We saw this in November 2020. Cyberpunk 2077, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Spider-Man all launched at the same time. The market could only sustain a few of them.
So September is just going to be way too crowded.
Exactly. We have a hyper-dense September 2026, and the statistical reality is that two or three of these massive games are going to fail commercially or get delayed again just because the consumer base can't support them all at once.
So if you're an indie or mid-tier developer staring down this massive bottleneck in September and a media blackout in November, what's your move?
The really smart counterintuitive play is to target the post-GTA window.
Oh, like December or January.
Exactly. Late December 2026 into January 2027. Because by then, the hyper-engaged player base has rolled the credits on that 80-hour campaign.
They're done with the main story.
Right. The initial cultural saturation has crested, and you have millions of players suffering from a post-game content drought. They want a palate cleanser. That is the strategic void where a smaller game can capture an outsized audience.
So Rockstar has clearly mastered consumer capture, creating this media titan. But let's pivot to a tech giant that tried to force a massive platform shift and seemingly fumbled the execution. That leads directly to Microsoft's current AI crisis.
Yeah, this is a fascinating shift in the landscape.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Microsoft literally handed us the AI era through their infrastructure and OpenAI investments. So how are they actively alienating the very developers who build the software?
It comes down to a really harsh collision between their software pricing and the physical constraints of the hardware. And it's a brutal economic reality.
Right. The GitHub Copilot issue.
Yeah. GitHub Copilot is their flagship AI development tool. It launched with a highly attractive flat rate subscription of $10 a month.
Which is a great deal for developers.
It was. But in April 2026, they abruptly shifted to a consumption-based pay-per-use billing model. Yeah, and this wasn't a minor tweak. It was a fundamental restructuring because Copilot was hemorrhaging money.
Wait, really? How bad was it?
Yeah, bad. Power users, the developers who integrate AI into every single keystroke, were consuming vast amounts of tokens. It was costing Microsoft upwards of $50 a month in raw compute power to service an account that was only paying $10.
Oh, wow. But wait, isn't Microsoft playing the long game here? I mean, a tech giant of that size usually accepts massive loss leader strategies just to capture market share and lock developers into their ecosystem.
Normally.
So why hit the panic button on pricing now?
Because the infrastructure drain was threatening their broader enterprise margins. But to your point, why this matters so much is that it's a massive breach of developer trust.
Right, the devs feel betrayed.
Totally. It's a bait and switch. We're seeing reports of independent developers burning through $6 on a single coding session just by asking the AI to refactor a complex project.
That is just wild. And the friction isn't just about the pricing, right?
Yeah.
It's about the reliability of the infrastructure itself.
Exactly. The unfinished migration is causing havoc.
Yeah, GitHub is in the middle of this complex migration to Microsoft Azure, and it is causing severe outages. Developers talk about vibe coding, you know?
Yeah, that highly focused flow state.
Right. You're in this intuitive flow where the AI acts as an extension of your thought process. If you hit a tight deadline, you're in the zone, and the AI tool suddenly goes offline because the Azure servers are overwhelmed, that flow state just shatters.
And that proves a critical point. Being first to market doesn't guarantee loyalty if the infrastructure can't handle the scale.
So developers are just leaving.
Yeah, they're highly agile. They don't have institutional loyalty to a tool that interrupts their workflow. We are already tracking developers abandoning Copilot for highly capable competitors like Cursor and Anthropic's Claude Code.
Just because they offer more predictable environments, it creates this fascinating disconnect in the market right now. The AI software products are struggling to turn a profit and are angering users.
But the infrastructure companies are absolutely booming.
Exactly. The foundational layer, the data centers, the chips investors are throwing historic amounts of capital at them.
Right, because investors realize we are in the picks and shovels phase of the AI gold rush. Capital is rotating heavily into foundational hardware.
So money is just flooding into the SpaceX IPO, NVIDIA, and AI chip startups.
Yes, but here's the catch. Capital is a zero-sum game.
If billions are flowing into AI infrastructure, it is actively draining liquidity from other markets.
Which brings us to the collateral damage of this great rotation, the cryptocurrency ecosystem.
Yeah, it's taking a massive hit.
It is facing its worst week since July 2024. The numbers are just grim. Bitcoin dropped below $60,000, which is a 15.5% decline.
Yeah.
Ethereum hit a 13-month low of $1,600, down 17%.
It's just wiped out.
Over $1.75 billion and 351,000 traders were liquidated in a 24-hour window. And get this, over 50% of Bitcoin is now held at a loss.
It's a bloodbath.
So what does this all mean for the digital gold narrative? I mean, why hold volatile crypto when you can buy the tangible picks and shovels of the AI boom? Especially when a macroeconomic environment is working against crypto.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the U.S. jobs data just posted incredibly resilient numbers. 272,000 new jobs.
Which means the economy's running hot.
Exactly. And that signals to the Federal Reserve that interest rates are staying high. When investors can secure a guaranteed risk-free yield from U.S. treasuries, they aren't going to hold non-yielding digital assets.
But there is also a critical internal failure happening within the crypto architecture right now, completely independent of the Fed. We need to talk about the Zcash bug.
Yeah, this strikes at the very heart of the ecosystem. Zcash is a privacy coin using complex cryptography zero-knowledge proofs.
Right, where you can verify a transaction without revealing who sent it or how much.
Elegant math, usually. But researchers found a foundational bug in that cryptography. If exploited, an attacker could bypass the consensus mechanism and mint an infinite number of Zcash tokens out of thin air.
And nobody on the network would even know.
Exactly.
Even though the developers patched it and said it was never exploited, the psychological damage is permanent. The entire value proposition of crypto is the scarcity assumption.
Right. If a bug breaks the scarcity, the trust is gone.
If a protocol error can just generate infinite supply, institutional trust erodes completely.
And that creates an existential threat, especially to Ethereum. Institutional investors look at the Zcash bug and wonder, what dormant vulnerabilities exist in Ethereum? What bugs are hiding in decentralized finance protocols?
It's a valid fear.
It is. And this trust crisis is pushing Ethereum dangerously close to a critical support level of $1,420. And I want to warn you about the death spiral here.
Right, because this isn't just a psychological floor. It's mathematically coded into the smart contracts. Let's break that down.
So in DeFi, billions are locked up as collateral. Users deposit Ethereum to borrow stablecoins. These contracts are rigid. If Ethereum breaks that $1,420 floor, automated liquidations kick in.
The protocols just auto-sell the collateral to stay solvent.
Exactly. They execute massive sell orders, which pushes the price even lower, triggering the next tier of liquidations. It mathematically forces a cascading, catastrophic crash down to $900.
That is terrifying. A single software bug in Zcash caused systemic panic across global financial markets. But, you know, what happens when critical vulnerabilities hit not just speculative money, but the actual physical plumbing of corporate networks?
That leads us right to Cisco.
Yes. Cisco just announced its seventh zero-day vulnerability of 2026. This is in its Catalyst SD-WAN manager. And crucially, there is no patch.
None at all.
It allows command injection, granting root Linux access. And worse, it could be chained with two other vulnerabilities, CVE-2026, 2182, and 2127, to allow remote, unauthenticated attackers to completely take over the network.
It's a complete compromise.
It's like having a master key to every locked door in a skyscraper. But the lock manufacturer just says, whoops, no fix yet, good luck. Why are these highly advanced SD-WANs so incredibly fragile?
It's what we call the defender's dilemma. SD-WAN centralizes network management. It creates a single point of control for routing, firewalls, and VPNs across a whole company.
Which companies love because it's cheaper.
Right. They rush to deploy these millions of lines of code to save operational money, but they sacrifice security. You centralize the management, you centralize the risk.
And Cisco holds, what, 40% of the market?
Yep, including Fortune 500s and governments. So a single unpatched flaw gives attackers the literal keys to the kingdom.
While IT team... these Cisco ZO days, hackers have realized something profound. Why spend months hacking a firewall when you can just physically walk through the front door?
Exactly. Which brings us to the human exploit.
This is the wildest story in the stack. The FBI and Google are warning about the Silent Ransom Group, or SRG. They are literally sending fake IT workers dressed in professional attire straight to offices.
Yeah, they aren't even hiding behind a screen.
they target law firms specifically. Because law firms have highly sensitive data, surprisingly weak security, and a high willingness to pay $500K to $2 million ransoms.
It's a very calculated business model for the attackers.
These fake IT guys claim to be from tech support, sit down, and physically plug USB drives into computers to install remote access tools. All that multi-million dollar Cisco Enterprise security is completely useless if John from IT just asks politely to use your keyboard.
It is the weaponization of workplace politeness, and it raises an important question about our blind trust. We are seeing a real convergence of cyber and physical threats.
Right. They don't just walk in blind. They do their homework.
Oh, absolutely. Hackers use LinkedIn to find the real IT manager's name. So when they talk to the receptionist, they drop that specific name to social engineer their way in.
The receptionist just thinks, oh, Dave sent you. Go right ahead.
Exactly. This is why you must implement two-person rules. Disable workstation USB ports. And always, always verify visitors by calling your actual IT department independently.
Don't just trust the fake ID badge.
Never. And, you know, there's another story that highlights this exact same vulnerability in human attention. Google Maps just redesigned the Android Auto pop-ups.
Oh, right, making them smaller.
Yeah, they made them smaller and they disappear faster. Why? To prevent distracted driving, which causes roughly 3,000 deaths a year.
The connection there is so clear. Human attention is our greatest vulnerability.
Spot on.
Whether it's getting distracted by a glowing screen while driving a 2-ton vehicle, or being too distracted by your daily workflow to question a guy in a polo shirt holding a clipboard.
Exactly. The human component is the weakest link.
What a wild journey today. We've gone from Rockstar Games dictating the calendar of a multi-billion dollar industry to Microsoft's developer revolt. We tracked capital fleeing from crypto into AI infrastructure and realize that our deeply vulnerable digital networks are ultimately undone by basic human psychology.
The scale of these systems just obscures how fragile they really are.
Right. And in a world of total information overload, understanding these hidden connections, knowing where the money flows, and exactly how trust is exploited is your ultimate advantage.
And I want to leave you with one final thing to chew on, building on what we just talked about.
Okay, let's hear it.
We just talked about hackers walking into law firms, relying on workplace politeness and name-dropping a manager. But as AI voice cloning and deepfakes become completely indistinguishable from reality, what happens next?
Oh, man.
What happens when that in-person hacker doesn't just name-drop your IT manager, but uses an AI tool on their phone to perfectly mimic your CEO's voice?
You're just calling the front desk right then and there.
Exactly. Perfectly authorizing their access in real time over the phone. How do we verify reality when the physical and digital illusions combine like that?
That is terrifying.
It's definitely something for you to think about next time someone asks to check your computer.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up our deep dive for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay vigilant out there, and we will catch you next time.